Huberto moving in, waiting. Huberto to the backhand. Hoobie doobie doo. We are tied at two. What a goal. Loose puck at center. Barkov looking to get a step on Mete. Barkov to the net. Barkov between the legs. Unbelievable. Did you just do that, Alexander Barkov? The Panthers are back on top.
Hello and welcome back to the Florida Hockey Podcast. Justin Bedford alongside Noah Russo. And basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at $1 million in total prizes when using promo code THPN during sign-up. Playing daily fantasy basketball, it's simple, it's easy. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, assist means so much more with a DraftKings daily fantasy lineup on the line. And baseball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all the daily fantasy action where DraftKings has even more ways for you to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players. So what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN for a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Noah, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Busy time of year. We're finishing up, all our schoolwork. Lots of hockey going on. Obviously, trade deadline is tomorrow, which is when this episode will be out, meaning a lot of the things we talk about today might be outdated. So we're going to make some trade predictions at the end. So it should be a fun episode. Should be good.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, last week we recorded, we talked about a lot of stuff. And then literally like immediately after we recorded, Panthers go out and make a move, trading away Brett Connolly, bringing in Lucas Walmark, bringing him home. What were your thoughts on the move when it first happened?
I think you could sense that it's a depth move in order to just alleviate the cap space. Basically, it's a trade that sets up another trade.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought too. Is like, okay, they move out Brett Connolly, so now you got this space. What are you going to do with it? We're all kind of waiting for, the next move to happen, which there's been a couple that we've seen in the last couple of days here. And definitely welcome because the Panthers, three losses in a row now. Not been a great little stretch here for the team.
No, it's, I don't think alarming, but you're definitely kind of, it's not alarming. It's rather questioning. Makes you wonder. I think two of those games were versus Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, you didn't lose all the three straight games to the Detroit Red Wings, It's the reality of the situation. You were playing good teams, and you lost, and that happens sometimes. Three is concerning, not alarming, but you're definitely wondering what's going to give because, I think Ekblad's loss on the blue line is hurting.
Yeah, I think like that's such a significant loss for this team. And like you said, these three losses, like they're coming against good teams. It isn't like losing to Detroit or Chicago or Columbus, teams that are struggling. Like Dallas has not had a great year, but they went to the final last year. Like that's a good hockey team. Carolina is a very good hockey team too. So to lose, you know, it sucks. You never want to lose. But those are good teams. And I think the thing is we've seen the Panthers win those games, you know, quite a bit this year with the way they've played. And it just seems recently, even before that stretch, like they lose these three, but they won six straight before. And then they lose a few before that six-game winning streak. So I think it's just maybe a little bit of inconsistency, too, in the way the team's playing.
Yeah, and sometimes you're just bound to hit a slump at some point. It's just, I mean, statistically, it's going to happen. You know, just not getting the lucky bounces, and it just happens. That first game against Carolina, the 5-2 loss, I thought was fine. You know, they're not losing in blowout fashion either, you know?
No, they're not getting blown out for sure. And like last night in the Dallas game, right, they're down 3-1. They get the late one there in the second. They're down 3-1 going into the third. And then right out of the gate, like they came out really strong at the start of the third. Godobin made some huge saves for Dallas. And then puck goes the other way. Jason Robertson puts one past Bobrovsky, and that was pretty much it. So just – like, I like the response. They just weren't able to capitalize in that period. But do you think this little kind of, let's say, slump has maybe increased the level of urgency for Bill Zito in making some moves? Like, we've seen him make a couple here the last couple of days.
Like, maybe a little. Like, you have to wonder. It's not a great time to lose three straight, that's for sure. For Bill Zito, this is pretty much his worst case scenario because he was looking, he was probably like definitely hoping that they would, you know, they would steady out and that he wouldn't have as much pressure to make a move. But now it seems like teams have been going out, they've been making the moves. So I think a combination of the recent results and other teams around the league is definitely putting a significant amount of pressure on Bill Zito right now.
Yeah, well, I think like obviously the struggle is like it's not a great time, but I think you'd rather the team struggle now than you don't do anything. The team's hot going into the deadline, so you don't do anything, and then they struggle after, and you're not able to make some additions.
Exactly.
And I think more so the urgency probably comes from the Ekblad injury of, you know. You lose your top pairing number one defenseman, hard to replace. And this is a D-core where a lot of guys have stepped up all year and been really, really solid. But I don't think they're able to step up to the degree that will compensate for Ekblad being out. So definitely some help needed. Just quickly, because we didn't really talk about it, what are your thoughts been so far on Kjerstad in his first few NHL games?
He played more than I thought he would. He really did. You know, I think the first time I said 7 minutes, like minimum, maybe 12 if he's looking good out there. I think he played 15. So he's looking good, and it's super cool. I mean, he was a Panthers fan growing up.
Yeah, we saw that picture of
yeah,
and they had that in his stall because they didn't have the nameplate.
So they yeah, put the I think
like, that's pretty great.
I think that's great. I think that he's definitely, you can tell that he was one of the most convoluted college players this year. You know, he's been able to step in the NHL, and you can't really like, that's great, but you're not expecting him to take on a big role this year. And I think he's slotting in like well in what he's asked to do.
Yeah. I think they're doing a good job of, obviously, you know, this is a guy coming right out of college, but, you know, he was in college for a long time and was able to develop his game there. I've been very impressed with what I've seen so far. And, you know, the team hasn't given him too much, you know, responsibility that he can't handle. They're putting him in a good spot to succeed. Really impressed. Like, his skating is excellent. Like, he's so smooth out there. Really, really mobile. I think that's probably his main calling card as a player. And I think a bit more offense than, you know, I was maybe anticipating. Obviously, not putting up, you know, points or anything. But he's jumping up into the play and he's getting some chances here and there. So I like what I've seen so far from him, especially as, you know, playing in his first few NHL games. Like, he hasn't looked out of place at all.
No, and he's not a small guy either, right? I forget his exact measurements, but he's definitely 6 foot or taller. So that's like such a perfect frame on defense, and he's definitely fitting in well.
Yeah, which is just, it's fantastic that they were able to get him and that he's been, you know, pretty solid for the most part. And assuming, you know, he's only going to improve down the stretch here as he, you know, gets more experience playing at this level. Like, he's been awesome.
Yeah.
It was just odd, like, much needed for sure.
Mm-hmm. And, absolutely.
And we anticipate sometime in the coming weeks we will see Spencer Knight too, which I think everyone's excited for, because, you know, he is, you know, he's a top goalie prospect.
I mean, yeah, like, he's one of the best goalie prospects, period. Like, not even on, like, forget about on the Panthers. This is, like, league-wide.
Yeah, league-wide. He's a top prospect, especially at that position. So I'm looking forward to that. And it's nice for him, too, in that the team's in a nice spot in the standings, and their goaltending has been relatively solid this year, which I think takes away some of the pressure for Spencer Knight.
Yeah, I think it absolutely does. And we heard him speak. He talked about having Bobrovsky, you know, being able to learn from him and just how it's a pretty unique opportunity. And he's really excited for that. So obviously he's embracing the moment as well.
Yeah, which is just great to see. And I mean, you know, for all the flack Sergei Bobrovsky gets, like, mostly about his contract, like, at the end of the day, like, he has won 2 Vezina trophies. Like, he's still a very good goalie in this league. And so to have him as a guy to learn things from, I think, is great for Spencer Knight. And when he does get that chance to come in, it's going to be in a low-pressure situation where it's like, hey, go play your game. Don't worry about, you know, anything else. We're comfortable in the standings. And we got these other guys here. So the pressure's off for Spencer Knight, which I think is huge for goalies, especially at that age, making their debuts. Like, we've seen, you know, recently, like, sometimes goalies playing their first game, like, it just goes badly. There's too much pressure. So for him to be able to step in at some point, it's a nice situation for him.
It really is. I doubt Quenneville would put him in a situation where he'd be playing one of the top teams, and I think we'll easily be able to expect him to play one of those lesser teams in Detroit, Chicago, or possibly Columbus.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll see him at some point, hopefully, and we're just kind of waiting for that. But with the deadline coming up here tomorrow, we've seen a lot of trades, not a lot, a decent amount of movement going on around the league. In the big trade, obviously, yesterday, 3-team trade that lands David Savard in Tampa Bay, with Detroit retaining salary and with salary being retained by both teams involved. So what are your thoughts on the move? Who do you think kind of wins this trade, and how do you think David Savard's going to fit in Tampa Bay?
This is so reminiscent of last year. Just Tampa Bay loading in on solid, solid depth pieces. It's so frustrating. I hate seeing it. But I think David Savard is a great acquisition for them. It's hard to imagine a scenario in which they don't make it to probably the conference final.
Yeah, I mean,
that's especially considering the expectation and the speculation is that Kucherov's been going to be ready to go in time for playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay is looking really good. They're in a good spot. David Savard, I think he's the perfect fit for the style Tampa Bay plays. Like, I think there are certain teams where I don't know if I'd be willing to pay a first for David Savard if we were playing a specific system. But with his I think his strengths really complement what Tampa Bay has and what they do is, you know, a five-man unit out there. So I think it's a good ad for Tampa Bay. Your first round pick is going to be late in the first round of a draft where, again, we've mentioned it all the time, where who even knows, you know, who the best players are. So for them, you know, I think they get a really good player. Detroit picks up some assets, gets in on the deal for retaining some salary.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're paying literally 25% of David Savard's salary.
Yeah.
And they paid, somebody made the calculation, it was like 200 and Detroit paid like $250,000 in real money for a fourth round pick. And that's kind of where they set the value.
Yeah.
So the that kind of sets the value for the other big deals that are going to require retained salary. I mean, most notably thinking of Taylor Hall. So it should cost at least a third rounder for a team that wants, on top of the price for Taylor Hall, to have Buffalo retain that salary.
Yeah, we've seen more of these like three-way trades recently. Like we saw it last year, Toronto did it with Robin Leonard going to Vegas. You know, so it is something that, you know, I think teams are looking at, and it's a creative way to manage.
I like it. I really like it. I think that it's smart and it's well thought out. And if you're a rich team that does not need, that's probably not competing, it's such a value add to be able to, quite honestly, just buy.
You're just buying picks, basically.
I think it's a great system. I really like it. I think it's smart for teams that are trying to add players. I think it's smart for teams that are just trying to get draft picks. I honestly applaud the.
Yeah. And then the crazy thing though is like when you look at like the actual trade breakdown, like obviously you know who's going where, but when you look at the actual trades, like it does look a bit ridiculous. It's David Savard going to Detroit for Brian Lashoff, and then David Savard going for a fourth rounder, then Brian Lashoff going for a first and a third. Like it looks ridiculous, but the understanding is, yeah, they're basically just buying a pick, which, yeah, I like it. I think it's a great way to make deals happen. Like I think, you know, historically last five or so years, there's probably been a decent amount of trades that don't happen because of cap issues. This is kind of a creative way to get around it and see some more movement from around the league. So I like that aspect of it. I think, yeah, and I think Tampa Bay, they got great value in getting David Savard. Like, it's not an absurdly high price to pay for what he brings.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sucks, though, because, you know, state rival, but what are you going to do? But yesterday also, Panthers making a move of their own, a third-round pick for Brandon Montour. This one got some mixed opinions from what I've seen online from people. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, precisely mixed opinions. I have a great deal of respect for Brandon Montour. He was on my fantasy team 2 years ago when he was in Anaheim. We can get into the details of why he was on my fantasy team if you really want. But the short story is my team sucked. He good offensive potential, but I who knows what happened in Buffalo, right?
Well, like that's the thing. Everyone's like, wow, look at how bad he is, right? And it's like, I think if you pulled any player from Buffalo, it's going to tell you that they're bad.
Yeah.
Right. That's just the reality of that team. Hard to say. Like, I like the deal because a third rounder basically just.
I think there's no doubt that it was a good value add. Like I think that it's a decent price. I think that's all fine. I think it's whether or not that he's going to pan out.
Yeah, and the thing for me, like I'm optimistic that Brandon Montour is going to fit in well in Florida. based off of obviously everything he did in Buffalo, like it was bad, right? Things weren't good there. But you look at the But you look at the raw tools of the guy, like this is a guy with size and great mobile skating ability. And if you can implement him into the system the Panthers have with their current defenseman, I think his raw skill set will allow him to be an effective part of the Panthers. Is he going to move the needle a ton? Maybe not.
But you're adding depth, right?
You're adding depth, and I think you can make a pretty good case for him over several of the current defensemen the Panthers have. So it's an upgrade at a low cost, and it's a guy who, if things go well and he fits in, I think he has all the tools to be really effective. You know, as a player, obviously the defensive concerns are probably still going to be there, but he can move the puck, he can get it up ice, he'll pinch, jump into the rush. So, like, there are some things to like with Brandon Montour. Like, a lot of people just seem to be pointing out, you know, his possession, is the offense, the defense. But from a raw skill set point, like, I like the player, and I think if they put him in a spot to succeed, which is something, you know, Quenville's done all year with, you know, the guys that they've brought in. I think he'll be a solid contributor for sure.
Yeah. Just a depth piece. I think it's good. I liked him enough to have him on my fantasy team. The only concern is the Buffalo experiment. Is he was there for what, a year? A little more?
Yeah. I think he might have been there two years.
You know, it's like
3 years. This is his third year.
Oh, wow. Like, I mean, who knows what toll Buffalo takes on you. So I think it's great for him to get the change of scenery, and I'm really excited to see what he's going to bring for the Panthers. And I would fully expect him to be on the lineup on an like for every game. Yeah, like, that's my expectation.
Yeah, I think I imagine he finds himself in the lineup most nights, if not every night. But yeah, I think it's a fine addition. Not the player I'd expect them to go and get, but at that price, it's hard to really complain too much about bringing this guy in.
Yeah, it feels like every year the trade deadline, like, teams are trying to get bigger, they're trying to get more physical. You know, bring that like big piece on defense, and Panthers didn't quite go that route. But that being said, like, it's not, I don't think it's a bad thing. And it's a good player for what you paid. Like, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Like, and it kind of just, yeah. Like, when you look at the Panthers decor right now, it's a lot of mobility. You have a little bit of sandpaper there with Radko Gudas. And I think that's just the way they're trying to build this team, is they want to have D that are mobile, can move. And Brandon Montour fits that to a T.
Yeah. I'm just, it's going to be exciting. We've seen a lot of players that have come from kind of like, let me take the example of Anthony Duclair. You know, I don't want to say washed up, but he had a horrible, horrible second half of the season last year. And the Panthers gave him a shot. You know, Carter Verhaeghe was not consistent. He got a shot. Mason Marchment. There's a lot of guys like that. And I feel like Brandon Montour, like, he fits that profile. And so far, so good with the guys that Bill Zito's brought in. So I'm not expecting anything less from him.
Yeah, like, I think the kind of idea and the methodology is you bring in a bunch of guys who do things, who have promising aspects to them, like Carter Verhaeghe's speed and Duclair's first half last year and his speed, and you bring those guys in and you fit them into your system, and you hope that they're better for you than they were wherever they were previously, which has been the case for a lot of guys. Like, I throw Gustav Forsling in there too. He's one of the guys that's kind of stepped up with Ekblad being out. And so, yeah, it's kind of like you're bringing all these guys in, and obviously some of them haven't worked out, like Vinny Hinostroza, who has moved. But for the most part, seems to be working quite well for this team, and it'll be interesting to see what Brandon Montour does and if there's more moves to come for the Panthers, which leads me right into my next point before we got on here today. Announced that the Panthers have signed free agent Nikita Gusev. The goose is loose.
The goose is loose.
The goose is flying south. 1 year, $1 million deal. What are your thoughts on this addition?
Bill Zito is like making a reputation as being a 1 year, $1 million contract giver. Like, he's given so many similar contracts, just 1 year bet on yourself contracts. And I think it's so funny. That being said, Nikita Gusev for $1 million, I think has tremendous upside. And it goes in line with what we were saying at the beginning of the season is low risk, high reward situation. The same as Anthony Duclair. And at the time when we were pitching to Alex Galchenyuk, it's in line with that. And I will never be upset about it. I think it's great. And listen, Nikita Gusev probably like, cause he got traded from Vegas to New Jersey. I can't remember.
Yeah. The rights. His rights got traded. Yeah. He signed in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And then he had an okay year last year. Like, I don't think he was particularly bad last year. And obviously his first year. And then for whatever reason, things just haven't worked out this year.
I mean, new coach, right?
Yeah, new coach.
New Jersey just hired a new – like, Lindy Ruff, it's his first season in New Jersey. I think it's a guy who is – demonstrated a clear potential. It's just low risk, high reward, in my opinion.
Yeah, at the end of the day, like, and he had a decent year last year, like 40 something points in 60 whatever games. So to me, like, this is a guy, like, he undoubtedly has skill. For whatever reason, things didn't work out in New Jersey. They threw him on waivers, no one claimed him, so they cut ties. And for the Panthers, yeah, it's just, it, again, it's another low risk move where, hey, you bring him in, you know, maybe he's that extra spark you need for a playoff run. Mm-hmm. And you've acquired him for nothing but cash. And if not, then you cut ties at the end of the year and it doesn't really matter too much. My guess is that he's definitely like better than what he's shown this year. I think he has a tremendous amount of skill, like from watching him in the KHL, which, you know, different style of game, but you can see the ability that he has. And for the Panthers recently, you know, the offense has been struggling a bit for whatever reason, pucks aren't going in. So you add another guy who has an offensive history and you bring him in for nothing. I think it's a great piece of business for this team.
Yeah. You know, every time there's Bill Zito makes a move, we find ourselves kind of thinking this guy's actually really good. And he's been upholding that. Is every deal he makes, I'm impressed and I'm content. I'm happy with it.
Yeah. Like realistically, if you look at every move he's made since he was hired, I don't think there's one move that he's made where I've like hated it and thought it was bad for the team. And
yeah.
Right? Like, he goes in the offseason. First of all, gets rid of Mike Matheson. Already wins over.
Amazing.
That is probably the quickest and easiest way he could have won over the fan base.
Yeah.
For sure is getting out from under that contract. You know, I know some people like Mike Matheson. He's a Panther for a long time. But, like, every other move. And you look at, like, he brought in all these guys in the offseason. Low-risk deals. And then when things haven't worked out, he's moved guys. You know, yeah. Like when
I, the Brett Connolly, Vinny Hinostroza. Absolutely. He got rid of Bjorkstrom, who was literally just not doing anything. He's doing good.
Yeah, like it's really hard to dislike anything that he's done as a Panthers fan. And just, you know, and if Nikita Gusev, you know, if this signing works out, you know, it's just another bullet point in that GM of the year conversation.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine a scenario in which he wouldn't be considered, but
it would be a travesty, right? For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, the justice is there and he does get it. But you know, that might be a little biased coming from us, but
yeah. But it is
he deserves it.
I know. Exactly.
I think, you know, people gotta recognize that. But yeah, Gusev coming in, low risk, love it. With that being said, though, our last thing we got to talk about today. So tomorrow, trade deadline. This episode will be out by then, obviously. And in all likelihood, there are going to be some moves that go down. So we're going to make our predictions. I think we each have three trades we think are going to happen tomorrow with the players, where they're going, and what the return is. And we'll see how close we are. So we'll start off with you if you have one.
All right. So I think the first one has to be the first one we have to talk about is the big fish. And I know we both came up with mawkish trades for him. It's none other than Taylor Hall. Yeah, legendary Buffalo Sabre.
This was a tricky one for me because I had it all planned out where I thought he was going, what the return was going to be. But then I saw, you know, yesterday the Carolina Hurricanes holding out Hayden Fleury for precautionary reasons. You know, potential he might get traded. And you look at the market of players that are out there, and you know, Hayden Fleury is a nice young defenseman.
Yeah.
And I think the only player I could see him being traded for would be in a Taylor Hall deal. So that makes me kind of think Carolina might be in on him. But I had to stick with my original one. But I'm curious to know what your Taylor Hall trade was.
So I didn't think everything out. That obviously some prospects are going to be included. This one's going to be kind of a reach, but I think it would be really, really cool. It would be Taylor Hall going to the Edmonton Oilers.
Ooh.
Going back to Edmonton, I think, you know, it's been talked about for so many years now that I think it's just got to happen.
You know,
obviously first round pick, probably first and a second. I need to look at the depth chart, but I wouldn't be surprised seeing a guy like Evan Bouchard being floated out there in a possible
trade. Oh my goodness. You think that's what's, oh my goodness.
It's
Taylor Hall, and there's semi decent.
Actually, change the second rounder to a third rounder though.
So you're doing a third rounder and Evan Bouchard.
And a first.
Oh my goodness.
You don't think he's going to go for that much?
It's going to be a rental probably.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, it's going to be a first and a third no matter what, I think.
Okay.
I mean, you look at David Savard, who's also a rental, far cheaper, and he went for a first and a fourth, or a first, a third, and a fourth.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, you know, Evan Bouchard in, that's two firsts, basically.
Yeah. Bouchard is the first one I thought of. I mean, I don't know, maybe Raphael Lavoie.
Could be.
I'm going to change that forward for forward. I'll change it to Raphael Lavoie. Because okay. I think that, what was he, second round?
Yeah, he's a second rounder, 40-something overall.
But fringe first rounder, his name was up there.
He heated up in the Memorial Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
So that would be why. All right. So it's what's the final trade?
So we'll do a first, a third, and Raphael Lavoie for Taylor Hall.
With how much retained?
50%.
Interesting. Because here's the thing with that, though, is that Edmonton's so close to the cap, they probably have to send cap back.
Chris Russell.
But then...
No.
It'd have to be like Cassian or someone.
Nah, you can't. Not the Kassassin. What about James Neal?
It could be James Neal if Buffalo wants to. If Buffalo just wants to keep paying guys, you know, an infinite amount of money.
Like, yeah.
I mean,
let's say this is like, this would be without the cap implications, but do they have any like buried people or anything? No.
No, well, Klefbom's on LTIR. Could be Koskinen.
That'd be a good one, yeah. Mikko Koskinen.
Could be. But I don't know what Edmonton would be wanting to do there. Interesting.
I don't know. I think Edmonton's goalie situation, period, is a topic of its own.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because I Ken Holland did say that he didn't want to give up a first for a rental. So if he's going to give up that package, you would have to assume he's fairly confident Taylor Hall re-signs.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like it.
Well, because they're going to make the playoffs no matter what. Like, that's just a given. I think that pretty much three of the four divisions are already set in terms of who's going to be in the top four. I think that the West division is still unknown. And you could argue that the Panthers division is
for the fourth spot.
Yeah, that fourth spot. Probably Nashville, but it would be Nashville. But Chicago kind of in there.
Yeah, for the most part, like at least like the top three in each div are pretty much locked.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I went different direction for my Taylor Hall trade. Slightly. I did Taylor Hall 50% retained to the Colorado Avalanche for JT Compher, a first round pick, and Jean-Luc Foudy. So they get Buffalo gets an NHL player back, they get the first rounder, and then they get a guy who was a third round pick a year ago.
I mean, yeah, and I think Jean-Luc Foudy was kind of talked about as being maybe a little better than the third rounder, but that's neither here or there. I think that's an interesting trade.
Good skater. Like, I think, you know, if Colorado really just, like, they've been killing it lately, so it's hard for them to think, you know, they need to do something.
It's funny because when I was evaluating this, I thought of Vegas. I thought Vegas might be in on Taylor Hall because Vegas is just Vegas.
Yeah, they seem to be in on everyone.
Like,
at all times.
Exactly.
If there's if the big names out there, like, they'll find a way to get that player.
So
at what cost? Like, if they need to
Not putting it past the Golden Knights. They do have a first rounder available, so that's nice. It's gonna be tough to squeeze it into the cap. Somebody would have to be going back. Probably in the form of, I wonder if Alex Tuch would be available.
Ooh,
yeah,
he's a good player.
Yeah,
a Vegas one would be tricky, for sure, tricky. But like Taylor Hall is gonna get moved probably no matter what tomorrow.
Yeah, I would. Like,
Buffalo can't just sit on him.
No. No, they would. That would be disaster.
Like, if you want to re-sign him, then just bring him back.
I would love for them to do it because I think it would be so much funnier if they did.
It would be devastating for that fan base. So yeah, I wouldn't mind it, but it'll be interesting. All right, so we got our picks locked in for that. What other deals you got?
So I guess we should talk about a Nick Foligno trade.
Okay, I had a Nick Foligno one too.
Yeah, I knew you had one. I think no matter who trades for him, there's going to have to be some retained salary. Mine was actually to your Taylor Hall one to Colorado.
Okay.
What's
the package?
So probably going to be a first round pick and, like, is Matt Calvert, you know?
Like, okay. I actually initially had Matt Calvert in my Hall trade.
Yeah, I'm just trying to like do like, so obviously a first rounder, and then you're just trying to like body for body. And then by giving away Calvert, you can make the cap space for Foligno and obviously retain salary. Obviously.
See, I don't know if Foligno gets a first. Like he's a career 30, like the last 4 years, he's been a 30 point guy.
He's such a grit guy. And, you know, I don't think you're trading for Nick Foligno because 100% because of what he's going to bring on the ice. I think that the outside has a lot to do with it. And for a team like Colorado, who has, I'm trying to think, one Stanley Cup winner?
In who?
Did Burakovsky win it in Washington?
Yeah, I think Grubauer might have too.
Oh, Grubauer? Well, Grubauer wasn't playing, but still.
Maybe backup.
Yeah, so...
Count it.
Yeah, count it.
They gotta have more, no?
Oh, and I forgot. No. Grubauer was in Colorado by then.
Well, that's a tough bounce.
Yeah, so he missed out by a year. So I think really, Burakovsky is your only Stanley Cup winner on that squad. I don't think Patrick Nemeth won one. I think it means a lot to have those guys on your roster. So you bring Nick Foligno, maybe not a Stanley Cup winner, but definitely a guy with experience and significant playoff experience.
Does he though?
He's been in the league so long.
Yeah, but like how, like Columbus has not made the playoffs that much.
That's true. Well, they swept Tampa Bay that 1 year.
And then they got dismantled immediately after. So like he's probably maybe played like 20 playoff games.
No, he's played more than that. Anyways, I think you're right, but I think there's a good experience fit there. And I think that the price of Matt Calvert in first round is very reasonable. But I get what you mean that you're not sure he's worth a first rounder. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he's worth a first rounder. I certainly wouldn't pay that. And I don't have, okay. So my trade, I have him going for a second and a fourth and going up north slightly to the Minnesota Wild to play with brother Marcus.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Because the other thing too, you got to consider with Nick Foligno does have a trade. He has a modified no trade clause. So he has some say over where he goes. And I think he will probably not say no to playing with his brother in Minnesota. And I think Minnesota being a team that's been pretty good this year and, you know, finally fun to watch for once with Kaprizov. If they want to add a little more depth, if they think they can make a little bit of a push, I think Nick Foligno might be a guy that gets it done. Reunite the brothers, have fun. Why not?
Yeah, I definitely think he would fit in that Minnesota squad very well.
Yeah, he just seems like a Minnesota player.
Yeah, it's neither mean nor a compliment. It's just, it's definitely not a compliment.
No. I mean, lately, like obviously like Kaprizov and Fiala and let's say Zuccarello, like those guys have been fun to watch, but yeah, Minnesota historically has just been not that great to watch.
No. So. But you have to give them credit for this year.
No, they've been great this year. Well, and, you know, definitely, you know, people actually you're talking about them and watching them. So that's good for them. And Nick Foligno, could he be the missing piece? Unlikely, but maybe.
I mean, to first time in franchise history that they get past the second round. You never know.
Never know. All right. Your last one here.
So, like, last one, I want to go with, like, it's –
like, I would say, like, my last one is not a big-name player, but it's just a trade I think was going to happen, and therefore I made it my third, but it really isn't that exciting.
Because I kind of want to pick a goalie, you know?
Okay.
The name that comes to mind for me in terms of goalies that would be available and I would do it, this would be for a backup, is I could see a team, maybe if Braden Holtby's available.
Ooh.
Because
see, well, here's the
it's
thing.
A guy that you don't have to protect at the draft, at the expansion draft. I think you have another year of him and he's a very experienced backup.
Yeah, the thing for me is that Jim Benning said he didn't want to move anybody.
And that pisses me off, because why wouldn't you?
Well, he just said, like, our group's been through a lot, especially with, you know, COVID and everything lately. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, these are people and I don't want to do that to them.
I mean, that's fine, but they have to sign Pettersson and Hughes in the offseason.
Yeah, well, you're going to lose a goalie in the expansion draft, probably.
Yeah, so might as well lose him for something at this point.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's my take on it. But obviously, they are human beings, and you have to take into account their feelings. But if I were in Jim Benning's position, there would be no doubt in my mind that I would be fielding calls.
Okay, so what's the trade then?
Probably Braden Holtby to a contender for. I could see Tampa, honestly. I could see Tampa going out and getting him.
How does Tampa have any cap space ever? Like,
listen, they'll figure it out. Obviously, Curtis McElhinney back in the deal, and probably like a fifth round pick.
Yeah, well, like I would have seen like a nice fit with maybe like Colorado if Colorado didn't just go and get.
Yeah, did Colorado reason. Did Dubnyk so fast.
So it's like okay. Another team mentioned earlier could be Mikko Koskinen and a deal swap him.
And that's not foreign to Edmonton to swap goalies with rivals.
No, never done it.
Yeah, Edmonton seems pretty good.
Like there's a few teams that could.
It's hard to imagine a team that is willing to take Koskinen's salary back.
Well, yeah, his salary kind of offsets with Holtby.
Yeah, and yeah, it's Edmonton has such a tricky goalie situation, don't they?
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Okay, so your trade right now is Holtby to any contender for anything.
Yeah.
So wildly unspecific.
I'll say Tampa Bay for Curtis McElhinney and a fifth round pick.
Okay, Curtis McElhinney and a fifth round pick. Okay.
Yeah, probably more like sixth.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think Holtby's worth that much anymore.
Oh, I think he might be worth slightly more, but you know, what did Dubnyk just go for, a fifth?
Yeah.
I think you can make a strong case Braden Holtby's a better goalie than Devan Dubnyk. No disrespect to Devan Dubnyk.
His stats have been terrible this season.
Holtby?
Yeah.
That team has been terrible too.
That's true.
Although Thatcher Demko's been quite good.
They
hard to say.
They give up a lot of pucks. So I'll stick to Tampa Bay for Holtby for a fifth and McElhinney.
All right, my last one here, very unexciting, but
you are like convinced this is gonna happen.
Of all the three that I've suggested, this is the one that I think is most likely. Like, I'm, like, very certain. The return might be off, but I'm very certain Luke Glendening is going to Edmonton. And he's going to Edmonton for a fifth rounder. Book it.
Nick DeLoria just got traded to Pittsburgh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what that trade is.
I was going to do a Nick DeLoria trade. Damn.
Yeah, I know you were. And it was going to be Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was going to be Pittsburgh for whatever their turn actually is. Yeah. Okay.
And then allegedly the Avalanche, Leafs, and Capitals are among teams potentially willing to part with a first rounder for Nick Foligno.
What? In this economy? In this economy, we're doing a first rounder for Nick.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Like, I guess, like, you know, it's going to be a late first and it's like not a good draft, but. Well, that bodes much better for you than it does for me, though. All right.
I suppose it does.
But it doesn't.
Besides, it's literally going to happen like in 10 minutes once we're done recording the podcast. So
while I'm editing it, 100% it's going to happen. Okay, but yeah, Luke Glendening, though, to the Oilers for a fifth round pick. Book it, walk it in, go out, buy your Oilers Luke Glendening jerseys if that's your team. It's going to happen. But all right, well, all right. I guess that's those are our predictions. We'll tweet them out. We'll see how close we are, and we'll find out tomorrow. Should be good. And that does it for this episode. Thank you to everyone tuning in. We'll be back on Thursday with a brand new episode. Don't know what we're going to talk about yet. We'll figure it out. Actually, no, we'll definitely just talk about all the trades that happen tomorrow.
Yeah, I think there'll be a plethora of.
Hopefully there is.
Well, you want to know what? Last time I said that the floodgates weren't going to open and then they opened. So by me saying that there's going to be a lot of content means that they're literally done with trades. So I don't know. I have no idea what to think anymore.
We will figure it out then. But thanks for tuning in. We'll be back on Thursday and we will see you all then.